Honey, it's our favorite time of year, and I got you something to celebrate.
A McRib! It's just what I wanted!
Happy McRib season, sweetie.
Mm, I love you.
I love you, too.
Mm. Actually, I was talking to my McRib.
Oh, okay, well, I'll leave you two alone.
Right now, enjoy a McRib meal and get another tasty McRib sandwich for just a dollar. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Honey, it's our favorite time of year, and I got you something to celebrate.
A McRib! It's just what I wanted!
Happy McRib season, sweetie.
Mm, I love you.
I love you, too.
Mm. Actually, I was talking to my McRib.
Oh, okay, well, I'll leave you two alone.
Right now, enjoy a McRib meal and get another tasty McRib sandwich for just a dollar. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Earlier, but I didn't get to look at them. Some links on Facebook about, can you?
Yeah, one of them was kind of really weird. Somebody had sold a piece of artwork that was a banana that was taped to a wall for $120,000. And it comes with a certificate of authenticity, by the way.
Was that duct tape?
Yeah, it was duct tape to the wall.
Okay, I remember seeing that part.
Yeah. I don't know, man. People are getting weird with me. You know, I don't get it. You get a duct tape banana for $120,000. You can't go out to Kroger and pick up a banana for 99 cents and duct tape it to your own wall to save you megabucks.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Zach will buy that. If you say it's haunted, Zach will buy it.
The demon banana.
The demon banana.
Yep. Peanut butter jelly time from hell.
Mm-hmm. So what's been going on with you, Pete?
Not a whole lot, really. I'm still seeing clients with the regular stuff I do. Mm-hmm. You know, smoking cessation and all that. I had been working with a lady. I think I told you all about it last time. That she claimed that she was that she was possessed, and I've been trying to assess her, and for some reason, she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to give me a call back. I think it had something to do with some questions I gave her. One of them being, "What makes you think that you're possessed?" And she got really irate with me about that. And I asked that of everybody that I always assess, because I want to know where their head's at and what their thoughts are. But I don't know. I found some really strange things out about her. There was some medicinal issues and things like that. So I'm really thinking that she's having some problems with self-medicating or lack of self-medicating at this point. But,
It's got to be the hardest ones to assess.
Yes, it is. Because you really don't know where they're coming from. Everybody's not going to tell you everything that's going on in their life. I mean, that's just not, people just don't really do that unless they actually want to give information. So you're kind of fishing in the dark most of the time anyway. Under hypnosis, though, I can usually pull out more information from them. But she doesn't even want to go under hypnosis. She's got family here in Houston that she comes out here every once in a while. She's located out of state. So, I can't even talk her into doing that when she's in town. I think she's going to be coming in town for the holidays. So, I really don't know. So
that would be interesting if she would, though.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. I was kind of hoping things would kind of work out, but it just kind of broke apart around Thanksgiving time. So, you know, it's just kind of weird. But I understand that I don't remember if you got into it, but you did some filming over Halloween. And did you ever talk about what you had done for the filming?
Well, actually, it was during the daytime.
Okay.
They called us to go, and it's raining, and they gave us like maybe an hour to do an investigation. So it's daylight and no curtains on the windows or anything. So it's kind of like out of our element to do an investigation. So then we were rushed because I guess they had to find somewhere to do an investigation in a hurry. Maybe they will rush because normally they'll find us a place months ahead of time, and okay. And we film early, and then they show it on the night. But this happened really quick, so my mind wasn't right, you know, trying to film in the daytime, given an hour, being rushed around.
Gotcha.
So I asked them not to use my interview because I really didn't have anything to talk about. We didn't get any activity in that short of time. But what did happen, you know, my cousin Danny is a psychic medium.
Right.
I took him along, and he actually, it doesn't matter what time of day, night, you know, it doesn't matter with him. He sees spirits.
Okay.
And he communicates with them. So he actually, he was able to speak with some children's spirits there because it was a school. It's the, I'm trying to remember the name, the old Washington Schoolhouse Antique Mall is what they call it. Because it's no longer a schoolhouse. It was a schoolhouse in the 1800s.
Okay.
And this place is full, like full of everything, antiques. So it's so crowded, you know, and you just can't see everything just walking through. So he picked up on this man, he's an authority figure man, that would stand like at attention with his legs, kind of parted in his hands behind his back, and he wore a special cap, which Danny didn't understand what the cap meant, but the kids would stand behind him, and it's like he would have to, you know, give them permission to speak. So he was authority over them.
Okay.
So it was of the school. So later on, we started using the Frank's box.
Okay.
The voice box. And normally we have, it's the old one, the first one that I had bought. I have a newer model one that you don't have to hold your thumb down on the deal to scan the channels.
Gotcha.
Well,
okay.
He lets it go, lets the button go, and it just continues scanning. That's never happened before. I've been having that thing maybe 5 years.
We
use it a lot, and it just, when you pick your finger up, it just stops. It kept going for him, and we get voices over the recorder, and we did some children voices. Well, anyway, when we were done, we were walking out, and we just happened to glance over, and the news lady said, "Is this the man you were talking about?" Because he was actually standing at that pose with that hat with his hands behind his back.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he said, he's like, "Yeah, that's the guy. That's the man." So that actually worked out, you know, for the show.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
It was a great time. And then they offered us an investigation, you know, later on for the team to come out.
Okay.
Because they do have a lot of activity. So
what did the children have to say?
The children would stand back and not speak much. You know, we ask them questions, like what year is it? What's your favorite color? You know, things like that. And they wouldn't speak very loud, like they were afraid to speak. I don't know who this authority man was. Maybe, I don't know what you would have called them back in the 1800s. I mean, I know they had nuns at that school, but the man was in charge of everything at that time.
Yeah. You know, I had a friend of mine that went to Catholic school, and he said the nuns that were they were pretty tough. I mean, they would walk around with rulers. If you were sleeping or goofing off, you'd get a ruler on your hands or on your desk to keep your attention.
Smacked.
Yeah, so you know, I could see where that might be intimidating if they were doing something like that when they were going to school there.
Yeah. I don't think kids were bad way back then. not like they are today.
Yeah, well, let's hope not.
Show them a ruler today and they'll laugh at you. What am I going to do with that, math?
or bring out their ruler and saying that theirs is bigger than yours.
Yes.
Yeah. So what was the history of the place? Oh, why was there a haunting?
I have no idea. We didn't even have time to do that part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The news lady, she knew the history, so she spoke about that. I didn't even get to watch the clip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you could see me walking around the background. But when it came to interviewing me, I'm like, I have nothing. I went blank. I'm not used to just going blank, but I had nothing because I really didn't have time to prepare. But it gave them, you know, a little clip for the show. So it was fun. It's like an hour away from here, Washington, Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it wasn't a whole team thing, so I didn't have to bring anything but my handheld equipment.
Well, that's cool. That's always good. So you don't have to take apart all of that, all that big equipment to pack it back up and stuff. That was always a pain in the ass.
It is.
Yeah, it is. And I'm the one that has most of the equipment here.
When I first started, I had just women on my team, and we'd have to go in three vehicles just to get all of our equipment there, and it was a pain. Yeah. Now I have guys on my team, big guys.
So, oh, good.
We have big guy investigators / roadies.
Roadies are always good. I remember when I was playing out with my band and stuff, it was always nice to have help instead of having to break down your rig every freaking night.
Yeah.
Yeah. My,
they're like, man, this is heavy.
Yeah, my amplifier was the size of about a half of a refrigerator, and it had wheels on it. So trying to get it up and off of the stage, that was always fun. I almost got crushed by it once, but
oh wow!
I was going up a ramp with it and lost my footing. That was a good night.
Good. Oh wow! Yeah, I fell down quite a few stairs and stuff.
Yeah, and done that.
We have crates we carry and all this big stuff. So how's the weather in your end?
It's about 70, 75 degrees out here. Not a problem at all.
It's like heater one day, AC the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
In Louisiana, exactly. You might as well keep your winter and your summer clothes out all year long.
keep them on your couch because you don't know what you're going to need to wear that day.
That's true.
Yep.
Yeah. Hot at night, you wake up, you're freezing.
Yeah. And my dogs always freak out too because they don't know whether they're hot or cold. Go in, go out. My Dane is he's really weird. If it's raining outside, he won't go outside. It doesn't matter if you try to push him outside or whatever, he'll fight you. He doesn't like rain. So that's always been fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So what else has been going on with you? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was good. We just had a small Thanksgiving. It was my mom, myself, my wife, and my dad, and we enjoyed ourselves. It was pretty nice. How was yours?
Awesome. We went to some family, and I'm on the keto diet, so I don't eat that much stuff, meat and vegetables.
How is that working out? Because I have to kind of eat the same way. With my diabetes and all. So
I've been on it for 3 years and I've lost 75 pounds.
Oh, awesome.
And okay, just kept it off. I lost it the first year, but I've just kept it off the last 2 years.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I've lost a little over 100 about a year and a half. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. We have to get healthy.
Yes. Yes.
So what's going on the paranormal side?
On the paranormal side with me?
Give me some news.
Give you some news. Some news. Well,
I'm writing awesome articles.
Well, I'm writing on two books right now. I can tell you that. I'm writing on one. Basically, I'm on my experiences. I'm trying to put together parapsychology principles along with the metaphysical. I call it walking the gray, and that's basically how I investigate anyway. I wear, you know, two, three different hats, so I'm kind of going through my case files and stuff and writing on that. I've been writing on it for probably about the last year and a half here off and on. Writing another one on true stories of horror movies, and that was actually pretty being pretty fun right now. Give you an example that I don't know if anybody knows or not, but what is his name? The doll that is in Florida, Robert.
Yeah, Robert the doll.
Robert the doll was the storyline that was used for Chucky.
I didn't know that.
The story all about Robert being haunted and moving around and stuff like that. From I guess it was what the heck is the guy's name? Otto. I can't remember his last name, but. Robert Otto. He was that's the kid that Robert was named after, and it was actually made to look like Robert Otto, the kid. And the stories about him moving around and in the house and stuff. Yeah, that's where they got the Chucky original of Chucky for that, which is really cool. I'm getting a little bit more into. The story with The Exorcist, based off of the Exorcist letters from Robbie Kunkel. I'm getting into that a little bit too, and I think we discussed The Exorcist when we did the special we did, and but I'm writing that down for to based off of the movie The Exorcist. So that's been pretty fun too to start getting back into that case too.
That's awesome. Did you ever something on past life regressions?
Yeah, you know, I was looking at there's a lot of case files, and I'm trying to remember the gentleman that dealt with hypnosis and children. And about past life regression, he was a doctor, and forgive me, my brain is just fried at the moment. I think it's Dr. Stevenson. And he did a lot of studies with children and past lives. And he found that there's a lot of validity to some of it. Now, the only problem I have with doing past life regressions with the people that I've worked with, you know, that everybody is not going to be a hero or a celebrity or something like that. You know, that there are ditch diggers, and there are people that are not as glamorous. And, you know, our mind also tends to mask certain things for some reason or another, either traumatic experiences, or maybe we're not supposed to use it. So we sometimes get false memory syndrome. So that's your mind that's looking to make something out of nothing. And that's when you start pulling information that's like, you know, you get, well, his name was Bob, or, you know, you can't get names, dates, places, and events. And I tend to get more place memory. I have more issues with that than I do get people to recall anything. Now, I did have one gentleman that came to me that was having dreams in first person. And I started working with him. And we were pulling up some names, dates, places, and events that I gave to him that he wanted to research. And he had told me a long time ago when we were doing this. Now, when I'm saying a long time ago, I'm saying probably thinking about maybe about 2 years ago, that he was getting some information, and it was helping him quite a bit. And then we lost contact, whether he didn't want to share it with me or if it was getting too personal or whatever. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that, but it was really interesting as far as that, because when he was pulling up the information, it was like he was there. It wasn't describing it. It wasn't like third person, like he was watching it as a movie or something like that. It was like he was just actually there. And it was pretty interesting. It was really pretty interesting. I had the opportunity to film it, and he didn't, but I can't show it anywhere. He didn't give me permission to show it, but I do have a copy of it, and it's pretty interesting.
Well, I'm looking forward for you doing that for me.
I look forward to doing it too. When you coming? Yeah. When you coming out here?
Oh, as soon as I can, I will be there.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I will have the chair warm for you.
Like warm chairs. Hey, if you can put me under hypnosis, you'll be the first one. Because everybody that has tried cannot do it. They say, you have an old soul. We can't do it. You won't go under. Because after a while, they're just looking at me like, are you under? I'm like, no.
Hello, hello. So,
hi, Heidi.
How's it going?
Going okay. How are you doing?
All is well.
Thank you for being our guest.
Oh, are you kidding me? This is awesome.
Yeah.
I got a bit of a cold, though, so you got to pardon
me. Oh, that's okay. Pete's in with us. You know, Pete Haviland.
How you doing, ma'am?
Hey there. How's it going?
It's doing pretty good. You sound pretty good. You sound pretty good for having a cold.
Yeah.
Oh, yesterday, I had no voice. I canceled one show that I was supposed to be doing today. So I was like, I just can't.
Well, thank you for being here with us. Hope you get better soon.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah, Eileen couldn't be here, so you're up with me and Pete tonight.
That's all good.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. I had told the listeners about your Shadow Man book and that you're on the show on Monday nights, The Outlander.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about all of that.
Well, I have been doing The Outlander show. My goodness, how many years now? It has probably been 9 years on other networks and stuff. So, I probably before that, for about 5-6 years prior to that, I would host other shows or co-host and had a good time helping to bring some light to a very dark subject. And so when it comes to, I'm just plugging in here. When it comes to like shadow people and the Hat Man, my goodness, it was over 20 years ago in 97 when I wrote my first book called The Secret War, The Heavens Speak of the Battle. That was the book that introduced shadow people to the world. It took me 2 months to write that book and 4 years to get it published, but it was circulating out there in the world. And I was just like, yeah, it's really trying to inform people that there's a major problem going on out there in regards to shadow people. And at the time I had categorized shadow people and the Hat Man as kind of being one and the same, almost like it was another form that shadow people could take. So I called him the Hat Man Shadow. Yeah. But as I got so many emails from all over the world in the thousands, I started to see this pattern that he was quite different. He would show up when shadow people were around at times, but he was in charge and he could form himself to become quite solid. You could see clothes on him. You could see his eyes. You could see if he was clean shaven sometimes. It became really clear to me that, you know, something was going on with him. And every time I started to take a step closer to better defining who he was and what he was up to, I would get calls from friends and family saying, what are you working on, Heidi? Because I can't sleep. I'm having the craziest nightmares. And then Hat Man went after my sister. And was like, oh, yeah, I could tell you what happened in regards to that. It was crazy. So
yeah, I would like to hear that actually.
Yeah. So I had several images of shadow people up on my website, and I had just put up Hat Man, and I get a knock at my door, and it's my sister. And she's like, "Hey, Heidi, I need to talk to you about something." I'm like, "Oh, I want to show you my new website. I just redesigned it. I put all these different images on here." I pull it up, and she sits down behind me. And she's like looking glum, but I wasn't really paying attention because I was so excited about my website. And she screams, "That's him. Oh my God, what's he doing on your website?" And I said, "What?" I turn around. I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, "Yesterday, I'd gone down into my basement and I was getting my clothes out of the dryer." And she said, "Heidi, this huge thing came up, rose up from behind the dryer And he just like was leaning over it, like coming at her. She said, I don't think I touched a stair on the way up the stairs. She knocked over her child and ran out of the house screaming. Yeah. And I was like,
the child in the house.
She just had blind fear. The kid came running after her screaming too, though. but then she's like, I think it was like a couple days prior that happened. And then the following day or the same day, she's driving and she looks in her rearview mirror and there he's sitting back there with red glowing eyes, sitting in her back seat. And
the hat man or the shadow man?
Hat man is the same. I have to distinguish between that. So I had categorized him as Hat Man's shadow at one point, but to just call him a shadow man, they're shadow people. Those things are kind of shaped into and form into different things. And they're kind of shadowy. You can kind of see through them a little bit, though they're dark. Say Hat Man. Yes. He's got a very distinctive, you could see edges. You could see that he could kind of blend in with the shadows, but he's got a distinctive shape and you could see a head, the shoulders, outfit. He's got a trench coat. He's got a cape on. Sometimes he wears a hat. Sometimes he doesn't. But more often, he does wear a hat. And he switches his hat up.
What do you think he is? What do you think he is? I mean, I know you're saying he's a shadow person. Is there anything that you think
kind
that,
of breaking
that he might
up?
Be?
So I'm not getting.
I'm
everything.
Sorry. Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think he is?
I can hear you a little bit better now. Okay. Well, I wouldn't have to guess what he is because he says who he is. He'll tell you if you ask, not all the time, but he'll say his name is Scratch, the devil, or Satan himself. He's the most evil of all. But you know what to finish up real quick with what happened with my sister, it let me know that right when I put his image up on my website, he went after my sister, went after her. It literally, like I did not tell her. She had not seen this image before. So it was, it just let me know how close he is and how well he's listening. So Hat Man directs shadow people. So people tend to say, oh, the shadow man. And I'm like, well, I called him Hat Man Shadow. People say shadow man sometimes. But website, which is HeidiHollis.com, you'll see distinctive images of different types of shadow beings and how I categorize them, head and shoulder shadow. It looks more just like a head directly connected to some shoulders, kind of rounded. Sometimes you see red glowing eyes and they like to pin people down and suffocate them and things like that. They'll transform into a blob or a shadow spider and shadow cat, shadow rodents, shadow streaks. But Hat Man, he is the boss of these minions, I guess you could say, and he'll direct them. He's totally, totally a lot more fiercer and a lot more to be reckoned with if you're in the presence of him. So people could tell me they see shadow people and I'm like, oh, you got the easy ones. Like you tell me you see Hat Man, we've got some serious discussions to have.
What are some of your personal experiences that brought you to start writing about these?
Some of my personal experiences in regards to shadow people. So the first one that I had personally seen, I was staying at a friend's house and I was in the like second floor attic like areas where I was in my room. And I was walking with my friend, broad daylight, and I see this. I'm like just got in the doorway and I'm like, oh my God, I just saw something really crazy. You have got to see this. And I drew this thing out because I'm a cartoonist and I draw out this head and shoulder looking thing. And I'm thinking my friend is going to start laughing like, oh my God, he's losing it. She looks at it barely. She goes, oh great. He's back. You know, She's like, hey, Dad, you know, Heidi saw him too. I guess he's back. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? She's like, I don't know. This thing's been following me for years. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, this is nuts. So I had to go up and grab something from the second floor. Again, it's broad daylight out. I didn't even turn the lights on to go upstairs, though there's just like little, like tiny attic like windows at the base of the floor. But it lit up pretty well where I could see things. I go, I grab what I needed to, turn around to leave. Excuse me. And this thing was there blocking my way out the door. I mean, I don't even know how to describe that kind of a fear of, I mean, what is he, 7 feet tall, red eyes? I'm like, oh my, you know, and I just knew if I ran, it was going to get me. If I swung at it, it was going to get me. Like somehow this was going to feed into him to be able to overpower me. And I just kind of closed my eyes and started saying a prayer and walked right through him. Now, I tumbled all the way down the stairs. So my legs were jelly by that time when I reached him. But things changed for me. And I didn't quite catch it at the time because I grew up in a haunted house. And, you know, I was terrified about what I had just seen. But I started having these very vivid dreams of shadow spiders, like just massive, taking up my whole ceiling of my room type of spiders. And I'm like, what am I dreaming about? What is going on here? Or I'd see thousands of little ones crawling all over me. And I wasn't connecting the two at all. So I was just like, this is what, you know, what horrible stuff I'm experiencing. And now that stuff, I just kind of chalked it off. I had moved back to my state, to my home in Milwaukee. And I was somebody who had experienced, I'd seen UFOs before and whatnot. And I joined this group in Milwaukee of people who had, they were all alien abductees. I didn't feel as I was an abductee. I'd seen, you know, craft that were really clear. Like, I was like, it'd be neat to talk to other people about this. And so I joined this group and I had black helicopter hanging over my house a couple weeks after I joined. And one night I woke up to there being aliens in my apartment and I was walking around like freaking out, like, what are you guys doing here? And they freaked out looking at me. So it was a crazy story. But the next day after that, the shadow thing showed back up. The shadow, I saw a shadow, head and shoulder looking shadow being. And I was like, oh my God, I saw these gray beings. And then the next day I got these things showing up. I just didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what was going on and I didn't understand the connection. but it's just, there's so many different stories that go into what took place and why. It's just absolutely mind-blowing stuff. Yeah.
So what do you feel that the connection is now? Since you have written the book and had listened to other people's experiences and have in your own experiences, why did this seem like that they are attached to people?
Oh, well, I mean, at the time I didn't hear of anybody having experience besides my one friend and I didn't know to even ask anybody, to be honest. I mean, I was a college student. I experienced this. And I was busy enough. And I have a medical degree. I had a very difficult college course of what I was working in. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm muting to cough.
It's okay.
But I was going to school and I got a college roommate. I was experiencing seeing these shadowy things. And when it came to a point that myself and this roommate, we started experiencing something at a different level where alien beings started showing up in the apartment. It was like, okay. And they were kind of translucent. Like I would see something out of the corner of my eye, but it was had a distinctive shape. And I'm like, I'm a cartoonist. My roommate was an extraordinary artist. But she was heavily Pentecostal, extremely religious. And it's like, don't talk to me about your demon type of thing. And I like demons. I'm like, okay, you're like all these demons, whatever. So I would like, I see something and I kind of sketch it out. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. I was like, I can kind of see the side of the corner of my eye. What is that? Mm-hmm. And then one day I caught her drawing. And I was like, she's drawing the same thing. I said, you see that? She's like, and she's just like drawing this thing like, oh my God, I see that. And I'm like, okay, so what do you think that is? I look at her drawing, like I could just catch an edge of something. She drew all the details of an alien face. I'm like, you know what you just drew? Just like, I don't know, is that a demon? Just like, oh my gosh. But so it got to be, you know, it's one thing to experience things for yourself. It's another thing when you got somebody else witnessing and experiencing and somebody so reluctant. So when I finally pulled a book together while I was still a college student and put that thing out, and the emails started coming in. I mean, it for me, it was interesting because I always came from the standpoint of them being connected to alien beings because of the alien connection that started mm-hmm. to happen, where this college roommate of mine, I'll just call her Samantha, okay. excuse me, that she spontaneously started kind of channeling a being. And I mean, I don't even know how to, and I'm skipping a whole lot of layers and levels and things that happen, but mm-hmm. for her, this was absolutely life-changing. I had seen something similar to it before because I belonged to that UFO discussion group, right. and where people are being regressed, and instead of remembering something, one of the beings actually starts to kind of talk through them instead of, you know, a hypnogressive type of situation. It's like a channeling situation. So I've seen it before. Sure. And then for it to happen to her, you know, it was just absolutely mind blowing. And to be in the presence of that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, keep calm, Heidi, be strong for her. And, but for her, it just like blew her mind. I mean, she's strict Pentecostal. You know, they don't cut their hair. They wear the big skirts. And, you know, she had the whole shebang right. and was just like, what just happened? I'm like, you tell me, what was that? And she's like, well, I didn't know that she meditated. She was trying to meditate and she sees this being and the being starts talking through her. And, you know, flash forward on some of the conversation that happened that first night. This being establishes this connection and a connection where we started to have more conversations with this being whenever she could conjure up the strength to do it. And excuse me. And came to the understanding, they started talking about shadow people, these beings, these alien beings, and saying, you know, this is a universal problem. This presence, this is not the first planet this has happened to. And you know, imagine, here I am, someone I'm a college student and I'm stepping out on the scene. I'm like, oh my God, you guys, you know, these aliens have told me these shadow beings are here to kind of dominate, and how they're connected to alien beings is they're kind of the puppeteer of them, that they are conquered beings, the ones who are abducting and doing these horrible things. And I'm like, well, hold on. It's like that's a whole lot of people. And that's most people I know that claim to have had alien interaction. Right. They've been abducted. And they're like, they weren't invited. They came like a thief in the night and they abused their victims. Yes, this is what they do. And I'm like, well, shoot, you know, this is a major problem. So it's interesting to step out on the scene and start talking about this subject. And nobody had ever heard of, you know, what I'm talking about. And now as others have jumped on the bandwagon, they're coming to the same conclusions, like, oh my God, they're related to aliens. I'm like, hello. Yeah, they are. So yeah, it's been an interesting ride, I can tell you that.
Wow. Do they come to you in your dreams also?
The shadow beings, yes, they do. Not for myself. They did at one point. But I've learned how to keep them at bay, so I don't have to deal with them on a regular basis like I once did. So that's probably the biggest end of it for me, is to try to show people and teach people that you don't have to put up with their crap. You don't have to put up with the alien abductions. You don't have to put up with the shadow beings or the hat men, and put your ethereal foot up their backside and show them the door. Because if these things could take you on for who you are, they would stop with this masquerade. They would come to you, knock on your door and say, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, and I would like to take you down." But they're not. They are not. They're coming. They're sneaking. And they're trying to convince you in your dreams, let down your defenses. You know, what is that? I mean, people have got to realize that the human potential is something to be reckoned with universally.
It's a form of terrorism, is what it is.
It is. Since when is abducting anybody okay?
I know. I hate to use that word, but yeah.
No, it is.
It's terrorism.
Since when is abducting okay in any sense?
Not in abducting, and not in any way.
No, it's not. It's taken against your will.
Well, what are some of the what do you tell these folks that for protection or you know, trying to boot them out of their I mean, mm-hmm. to be offensive towards them. I mean, how do you teach these folks?
You know, one of the things, because they do come at you when you're not looking, like the scoundrels that they are, you have to build up a defense system around your home, in your home, in your room. I get a lot of young folks that are like, "I still live with my parents. What do I do? This is their house." I'm like, you know, I have a book. It's book two of The Hat Man. Essentially, and I'm a cartoonist. I made it for all ages, and I just thought it would be funny to do a comic-like kid-looking book. So, and to show you how to go through methodically blessing your space and putting up a wall. Now, I mean, ethereally speaking, you know, and so you could sleep at night and not have them come and try to mess with you. And now one of their tactics after people bless their home is to give you even more nightmares that become very threatening and all this stuff. And that's them trying to find and scratch their way in and convince you, like, "We're locked out of the house. Let us in." Now, it's a pitiful attempt. And it's like, I tell people, expect it, okay? That's just what they do. It's their desperate, you know, it might take a few weeks, might be a few months of these nightmares, but they'll start to wear down. But I tell people,
just open the door and throw a milk bone at them and close the door back up.
Exactly, right?
What do you feel their intentions are? What do they want?
Yeah, they want everything. What did the early colonists want? They wanted everything. They wanted the land. They wanted the people. They wanted to own it. They wanted to say it was theirs. And that is what these beings are doing. They are methodically taking over people one at a time. People are thinking that, this is biblical, you know, or we're going to see this war in the skies. I'm like, the war is already going on. That's why I called my book The Secret War, the first one, because In the middle of the night, people are battling for their lives, for their souls, and they're being possessed, quite literally being possessed. And it's like, well, that just seems, you know, ridiculous. I'm like, yeah, but who's the guy that started the riot that killed who? You know, who's the guy that did this that caused what? You know, you've got to realize, and the person be like, you know, I heard voices telling me to go stab somebody. Oh, what? Where'd that come from? Are you schizophrenic? Well, no. Are you? It's not always schizophrenia, and sometimes my background is working with people with schizophrenia, and I think sometimes these people are just a little bit more in tune and in touch, and they're being labeled as having a mental illness when they're just awake. So. But yeah, so these things are wanting to take everything. And now Hat Man, this is the level of Hat Man's BS. Oh, he ticks me off. But he'll do anything it takes to break you down, wear you down. He will bite you. He'll threaten you. He'll laugh at you. And his smile goes like the Joker smile from ear to ear with the its teeth, like sharky teeth. His eyes will glow red. If you see his skin, they're solid black eyes. He'll say anything to make you fearful and growl or laugh. He bites, he scratches, he rapes. He will reach into your chest.
You said he rapes?
He rapes. Oh, yes. And people will not talk about that very often.
As in physicality.
Yeah. He'll rape men and women. He doesn't care. He will do that. Oh, yeah. He will choke you.
I've just never heard of that. That's why.
Yeah. They don't. Yeah. A lot of people don't like to talk about it. And it's kind of one of those things. It's like, I don't pry. But they'll give hints to that, and I'm like, I understand. You don't have to talk about it. I mean, they're rape victims.
That is a very private and very traumatic experience.
It is, and he paralyzes and
threatens. That's like the ultimate violation.
It's the ultimate position of power to take your power from you, and then he reaches into your chest and rips you from your body, takes your soul out, laughing. As you're screaming, no, don't do this to me. And he drags you off and he's trying to pull people into what people will describe a very hot and stinky place. Or he'll try to say, work for me. Just the most horrible things that you can imagine. So, I have had a handful of people that say, well, he did scare me. So maybe he's a guardian. Maybe I'm special. I feel special. I'm like, just because you weren't afraid of, seeing this guy doesn't mean anything, because he does work up his nerve to do more with you. The more that you let him in, he will come in and he will get closer and he'll get personal. And when he starts raping and biting your child, maybe you'll find some fear to throw at him. And it's very similar to what aliens do. They paralyze. They put fear into people. They remove them from their bodies. And it's like they rape. They do all sorts of stuff. And they feel as if they have no emotion about it. It's like, yeah, yep, they're conquered too. So it's hideous. And I feel like I'm in an all-out battle myself that people need to know what's going on. And it's like, I just want to be able to plant the seed that if you're not a believer now, that's fine, but just know what to do in case of, it's not just a possibility he's coming or they're coming. It's a threat. It's coming on the horizon, and I'm watching this slowly happen, and it just destroys me. It's horrible.
So how long do you think this has been going on?
Oh, I think this has been going on for centuries. I don't think that, because with science taking aim to introduce us to our world and interpret it for us, instead of us trusting our own eyeballs to say, oh my God, I think that was a demon, or that was something out of the ordinary. I think we trusted scientists so long that we stopped trusting our guts, that we stopped acknowledging that these weird things go on and they are a part of reality. So we stopped talking about it so much. We didn't want to be the odd one out there. We didn't want to be hung up at the stake and burned as a witch because they saw something. You know, it's like, my goodness. Right. So I think this has been going on for a very long time. And it's still almost on a weekly basis. I get an email from someone saying, OMG, I thought I was the only one. I can't believe that this is real. I never told anyone. I decided to Google spooky man in a hat and suit, and you popped up. I'm like, oh my gosh, happens all the time. And I I've had so many friends and family. I'm like, I'm going to a room and somebody will say, oh, this is the lady that writes about the weird stuff, and then it's like, and somebody will say, well, I saw a ghost one time. And I'm like, I start looking at my phone to get my picture ready of Hat Man. And they're like, yeah, it was this guy in a black suit. I'm like, did he wear a hat? Yeah, he had a hat. I'm like, did he look like this? And the look of horror on their faces happens all the time. And so.
Now, with your medical background, is there anything that is out there that could explain some of the things that are going on?
No, that's sleep paralysis garbage. Okay. It is just, it's like, it does not explain away why people are seeing the same things over and over again.
Even psychologically?
Oh, gosh, no. Come on, no. No,
no, I'm just asking.
Yeah, no, no, I understand, but it's like,
well, yeah. well just so you understand why where I'm coming from, my background is I'm a hypnotherapist. So, as you're explaining these things to me, I mean, that's the way I think too. Is well, you know, you try to look at everything before you deem something paranormal. So I'm just, mm-hmm. I'm just asking your assessment was that you came to what some of these things were.
Yeah, well, I'm an occupational therapist, and one of my specialties are working with those with cognitive and psychological impairments.
Okay.
So working with schizophrenia, bipolar, Alzheimer's, all that stuff. Okay. I mean, it's something, and I've been doing it for 20 years now, so it's like,
cool.
I've seen the patterns, and God help me when my patients Google me, and they're like, oh, you see what I see, and I'm like, and it's like, in my job, I have to divert and not talk mm-hmm. about it,
Yeah.
But I see the patterns and I hear the patterns and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're seeing Hat Man and Shadow People. It's like, mm-hmm. here we go. It's a real problem. It's running rampant and it's like, I feel like I'm sounding this alarm and for 20 years now. And, it's interesting to see the awarenesses, or I've had people come on my radio show. This is hilarious. And they're talking to me about shadow people and they're explaining mm-hmm. it to me. And I'm like, do you know who I am? I'm interviewing you right now, and they're just like, yeah, you're Heidi. Yeah. But do you know where shadow people talk came from? I mean, 20 years of hitting the pavement, and they're like, oh, I had no idea. I'm like, are you serious? I thought you researched this. It's just, I it's like after a while, it's like, mm-hmm. it's interesting to see how this information is getting dispersed out there. And it's like, I want to make sure that it stays true to what it really is instead of glamorizing it as being something cool or something to seek, because I'm sounding an alarm. I'm trying to say, beware, don't look for these guys, please do not, because, you ask for this, you are asking for serious trouble. You do not want to invite these. You don't want to get in their territory. You don't want to get in their face.
Have you found any way that you can incorporate what you learned from shadow people into the therapeutic things that you do with your clients that are experiencing the same things?
I'm not really allowed to in the settings that I practice in. I get told, do not solicit your work.
I understand. I've been told the same thing.
Yeah. You can't do it. You can't do it. But it's like, I have patients that have looked me up and they start writing mm-hmm. me and I'm like, oh, hold on. I know that name. Oh gosh. Here we go. But, so it's a struggle. It really is a struggle because it's mm-hmm. like, I can't say I'm a doctor. I can't say that. I can't say that I can diagnose a person to say, this is what it is. You got it wrong. Right. I remember being in college and I knew the patterns already of shadow people. And one of my professors, oh my goodness. Oh gosh, I have really paid for this dearly. She was talking about it so proudly how she helped to diagnose a 10-year-old schizophrenic and she draws on the board straight up head and shoulder shadow man and mm-hmm. how this guy was threatening him and telling him to hang himself and kill himself and all this stuff. She's like, well, I did this and I got him properly diagnosed and I could say he is perfectly healthy today. And I was like, perfectly healthy. I'm like, mentally healthy, no schizophrenia. Nope. I'm like, that wasn't schizophrenia. I was like, oh God. And then I had my drawing book with me and I said, did it look like this? She goes, exactly. I said, that is actually a phenomena. And she did not take kindly to that. Oh boy. I was a straight A student until I said that.
That's harsh.
She was she was not happy, but get this. Something important that I think you guys might find intriguing too, when it comes to mm-hmm. Hat Man, to show how present he is and how much he hates mm-hmm. my guts, which I take as a compliment. So I was.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying. Yeah, I know.
I was just about to put out my book called The Hat Man, and mm-hmm. personally, I had never been confronted with him that I knew of at the time. And just before putting this book out, he came into my bedroom. And I mean, whenever something weird comes near me, I'm awake. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I heard the footsteps and I was like, ting, I'm awake. I'm like, oh, it's him. I felt it. And I was like, do I sit up and look at him and be like, so you're the bastard I've been writing about, you know? And I was just like, no,
probably didn't go over well.
No. And I was like, you know, I knew if I looked at him, he was going to get respectful fear out of me because he is nasty. So I was like, I'm not going to give him that satisfaction. So I wouldn't look at him. So I just laid there and, he sat on my bed, almost on me. I was like, I'm still not looking at you, dude. He sat there for a few minutes and I'm just sitting there like, what does he want? Does he not like what I'm portraying in this book? And then he stretched out across my bed bottom. I said, all right. And I felt him prop his head up on his elbow. And I'm like, okay, that's it. He's going to try to get comfortable.
How tall is this guy?
What?
How tall is this guy?
Oh, he's anywhere from 6 to 12 feet tall, usually.
Do you have a really big bed?
No. I would say this one that came in, he was about 6 feet or so, but he stretched across my bed, getting comfortable, like, I'm going to wait till you look at me. And I was like, okay, that's it. Let me get rid of him. And then I went to move, and I realized I couldn't move. Now, usually something weird comes, I pop right up. I'm like, get rid of him. And I was like, and I went to say the one name I know that gets rid of him, and that's the name of Jesus. And my mouth was suddenly full of peanut butter. And I was like, whoa. I was like, uh-oh, I waited too long. You know, curiosity killed the cat, but I finally got the name Jesus out, and poof, he was gone. But, so this is it, that was one incident, probably, I don't know, it was a week or two later, working as a therapist. I focus also on physical disabilities with different patients. Right. And I worked all over Chicago, and I went to this facility, and the therapists were like, I knew they Googled me. I was like, oh gosh, they're just acting different. And they go, two physical therapists go, so what is it you write about? And I'm like, oh gosh. I said, well, and I started telling him, right? And probably for 10 minutes, I'm telling him about this stuff. One of the therapists had to leave. The other went and got a patient, brought them to the parallel bars where they stand up to try to walk, right? And it's surrounded by mirrors where patients try to stand and walk and all that stuff. And so the therapist is there with them for like 1 minute, and I heard her scream. And I was like, what is she doing? I'm just trying to finish my notes. And she's like, come here. And I'm like, okay. I go out there. And this patient is leaning towards the mirror saying, who's that guy in the mirror talking to me in a funny language? And I said, oh no. And he's like, and he leans in, he goes, what? He's like, I can't understand him. That's something foreign. And I was like, oh my gosh. I said, sir, what does he look like? Well, he's got a black suit on. I'm like, oh my God. I said, is he wearing a hat? He said, yes, he's wearing a hat. He is right behind you. He's like, don't act like I'm crazy. And we were just like, oh my God. He was that close. 10 minutes. I just spoke of him and he shows up. Now, it happened the next day as well, because somebody, one of the other therapists, after somebody shared the story, and what took place, said, gosh, I wish I was here to see that. Hat Man showed up again right after that. I was like in the mirror again to add another patient. So just crazy. But now it gets weirder because so I put that book out. And 2 weeks after I put that book out, now this is significant in a couple of ways. So whenever I have like a waking dream or I get some kind of message in a dream, I always end up by my parents' home. I don't know why. That's just the safe place.
That's what I was going to say. That sounds like safe. Safe shelter.
So that's where I go to. And then, so 2 weeks after I published the book on Hat Man, you know, Slender Man was based off from Hat Man, right? The Slender Man attack happened about a 15-minute drive from my parents' home.
I hear the Crooked Man was the same way.
But did you hear that part? That about a 15-minute drive from my parents' home is where the Slender Man attacked, those little girls attacked their friend, right near my parents' home.
Well, that attack happened. Those girls attacked their friend. It wasn't Slender Man. Wasn't the girl that had a
schizophrenia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know the story that the one girl with schizophrenia spoke to the other girl and said about Slender Man? And the other girl said, oh, do you know why she was convinced about Slender Man? Because she said, I know him. I seen him when I was little. So that was Hat Man. And Slender Man, the character itself was developed by Eric Knudsen because of the reports of Hat Man.
Okay. Well, yeah, because I was just going to say that that was that was brought back to a creepypasta written by that gentleman it was a story contest or something.
Fictional.
Of course. Yeah.
He based it on real reports of Hat Man and shadow spiders. So, you know, he's got those tentacles that come out from behind his back, the shadow spider. And here's Slender Man looking just like Hat Man. He's very tall. He goes after children. Very common pattern as well. So, yeah, somebody had told me Eric Knudsen admitted it came from these reports of Hat Man. I was like, oh, my God, there it is. So crazy.
Heidi, I have a question.
Go ahead.
At the beginning of the show, you had mentioned the shadow spirits. They were shape-shifting. You didn't say shape-shifting, but they can come in any form.
Shadow people.
They choose shadow people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shadow people can change into different forms, yes.
So they can change into different forms working for the Hat Man?
Yes. How can I say? There's a dark source that they all are working for. And Hat Man seems to be the leader of that dark source that they kind of report to. Like they almost like a minion that works for them. And alien beings have been seen right alongside of Hat Man and Shadow People. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And you'll find a lot of people that have had Shadow People and Hat Man experiences are alien abductees.
Right. And you had said that when you had seen these things, it was out of your peripheral vision?
Initially, but that was not the case because when I saw the first one, I mean, I saw it to my side, my peripheral vision, and I turned to look and I could see it head on. I was like, oh my God, I'm seeing this thing. And they don't like to be seen. The shadow beings don't like to be seen. They often will come at you if you spot them, to try to shut you up into silence. But it's pretty very disturbing experience to have had. I mean, something totally out of your understanding of what reality is. And there it is. And it's threatening you and it's threatening your family. And it goes generational, too, just like alien abduction.
So do you think they choose the form of what of maybe something that the person is afraid of?
I don't know anybody that loves spiders a whole lot. There's some, but shadow spiders, shadow spears, shadow rodents.
Oh, if my wife could burn down the house to get rid of a spider, she will. Trust me.
Amen. I'm with her, too. I'd be holding the torch. Here you go, sister. Get it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nasty stuff. But yeah, they change into cats. They change into, but they're kind of fuzzy. They're not really clear. The spiders could be rather clear though. Oddly, with the tentacles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So weird.
Maybe because we recognize a spider more than we recognize a shadow person.
I don't know. I just think a lot of people get grossed out seeing a spider the size of a car in their house.
Oh,
Wow.
I don't think you can pick up a Roche Motel that's going to be big enough for that.
Oh, man. Many of friends have caught me in my house going around with a shoe, a broom. I'm like, I have got to find this thing because it's huge.
But that's something that huge. You're going to need an AK-47, probably in a large crop.
Oh, you have no idea. Horrible stuff.
Well, you know, you mentioned something about Hat Man having a weird smile. You know, yeah. One of the other creepypastas that are written about is Jeff the Killer. He's got a really weird look on about him. And did I have, mm-hmm. is that tied to anything about the Hat Man, do you think?
I haven't looked into him so much. But this this distinctive, disgusting smile that Hat Man has, it is so disturbing to people because they, I mean, it's like It. You saw the Stephen King It, those kind of jagged, nasty rows of teeth. It's mm-hmm. like that. And they're so in fear of their lives and the way that he laughs at them and just antagonizes them. It's horrific. It's just absolutely horrific.
Well, do you think that when we're dealing with stuff like exorcisms, okay, and yeah. you're talking about a demon, a preternatural force within mm-hmm. a person, could this be shadow people instead of a preternatural force, or are they preternatural forces?
You know, shadow beings and Hat Man, they can possess, and they often do. Alien beings, this channeling like type things, some of them are kind of possessing people too.
Right.
And it's like, you know, a lot of people, I know they like to slap a title or definition on something, but sometimes things just are. And it's like, if it's evil, it's evil. I throw it over the fence over here. And if it's positive, it's positive. It goes on the other side of the fence. So they all work kind of for the same thing, but a bunch of thieves never were very honorable, right? So they're kind of, they don't know always how to do things the best way, because they would have took us out already. They're trying, they're doing a good job, but mm-hmm. you got to wonder about those people who are shooting themselves and the society and their own foot. Would they really want to do that? It's like, no, I think they get a little possessed sometimes. And, mm-hmm. and you know, people will say, gosh, we moved to this place. And sometimes these things are connected to a place. Other times they're connected to the person. It's like, we moved to this place and suddenly George just started slapping me. I just don't understand. I've been with him for 15 years. He never slapped me. Hello. That's that's a little possessed there. You know, was George having some nightmares? Yeah, he was. Oh, okay. You know, but guys often don't talk about things going on. So they get affected quite easily and get taken advantage of quite easily by these horrible things. I mean, they're not going to jump up in fear and say, oh my God, I was raped by a man in a black suit. Mm-mm, no, that's not happening. So, they get squeezed into silence. And then I get the email from across the globe saying, so I was raped by a man in a black suit and my personality's changing. What do I do? I'm like, oh my gosh. Why can't the person next to you be told this so they can help you? Isolating the person, oppressing the person are the first steps to taking you down mm-hmm. and possessing you. So it breaks my heart. It really does.
What makes a person a candidate for something like that? I mean, because evidently not everybody experiences this, unless just everybody does and they don't know how to talk about it, or they don't know what it is, or Yeah, I mean, do you understand what I'm kind of saying?
Yes, I do. A lot of people feel like, oh my gosh, I'm screwed because, you know, this devil came at me. Apparently, mm-hmm. I've been a horrible person. God doesn't want me. Mm-hmm. It's like, usually it's you're such a bright light or you're gifted and they want to mm-hmm. stomp out that light and they want to control your future. So it's like people who are intuitive that could mm-hmm. see things that might have seen something when they're a kid, or they talk mm-hmm. to their imaginary friend. They have a gift, and he mm-hmm. sees that. He doesn't want you to sound the alarm. They come in like a thief in the night for a reason, and you could mm-hmm. see them. Oh no. They have to find that button to push with you to shut that up and put you in a fear and hopefully get you to work for them. So, but I always tell people too, if it's because of something, people that are, like to drink, drugs, depressed, sick, near death, they try to mm-hmm. take advantage of those people too. They're building an army. They want you. They are recruiting. And so, they go after people in those weakened states. So camaraderie, pulling together, positivity, even having a nightlight on, it helps to keep them at bay. So I tell people that, you know, if all together, we could beat them, and we have been, but we're mm-hmm. starting to lose this battle, I feel, a little bit. But we're not going to lose it overall. But We just got to get more people to be aware and put up their dukes and put their foot down and say, I'm not taking this crap. And here's the door, buddy. And you'd be surprised how having the gumption to do that. And also, you know, I get a lot of people who are just like, okay, so Hat Man has beat me up. He's done this to me, but I don't get into that religious thing. But anyways, what do? I don't believe in anything. Oh, did you see you said you called him the devil though in your email. So you must believe in something. You believe in evil, but not the light. I'm like, then throw a shoe at it because you don't believe it. You know, it's like,
yeah.
So I'm trying to get people. I have another website, theotherfword.com. I'm a cartoonist, so I did this book on faith because I was like repeating myself over and over again. Usually these were Reformed Catholics who hated their faith for one reason or another. And they just turned their back on God or anything positive. I'm like, okay, first off, you need to give yourself a break, all right? You can't be perfect. God knew that when he made us because we're flawed as heck. And this is the way he wanted it. Or he would have just made a cookie cutter. So the other F word, I tried to, and this is the subtitle, how to find faith and laugh at yourself while trying. Because it's like.
That's actually very, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, to try to get people to just be like, okay, I used to do this, I used to do that. And it's comical. I got comics all over it. And be like, you know, people that tried this and do that. And it's like, okay, where are you at? And where do you want to go? And just like the faith of a mustard seed, people. Jesus said it. That's all you need. And you can throw that in the face of this evil crap and they will leave. I don't care what anybody tells you. They will leave. Have no doubts in that. So I'm not a Bible thumper. I'm not perfect. But it's like 20 years on, how the heck am I still talking about this and not being slapped into silence? Because I got the faith and no doubts on it. You know, so, and I cheated in my faith, by the way, because, I was a skeptic of people who claim to have seen Jesus and their bowl of soup and whatever. I'm like, I put that in my first book, The Secret War. Like if Jesus were around, I think I would have seen him by now. But, I had to eat those words and change that chapter because he showed up and I would have never expected it. I wasn't worthy of such a thing, but
well, how did he show
changed
up to you?
Everything. excuse me. Well, I was a college student. I had just come home from work. I worked at 5 a.m. to 12 noon. I'd go home, take a nap, and then go to my classes. So I came home to take my nap, tell my roommate, turn the TV down, take a nap. It's I go to lay down on the bed and I hit the floor. And I'm like, boom, how did I miss the bed? I'm like, what the heck?
I've had nights like that.
Yeah, oh, my God. I was like, I wasn't that tired. I go to get up, and I'm like, oh, my God, where am I? I wasn't in my room. And I was in front of my parents' home. Like I told you, it's my safe place.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, Heidi, how'd you get here? I'm like, and I'm trying to think to myself. I'm like, okay, I was supposed to meet with a family friend over here. His name is Quincy. Maybe this is, I was coming over here and I just don't remember how I got here. And I looked down my parents' driveway and I see this man at the end of my parents. They have a long driveway. And I'm like, oh, yeah, here comes Quincy. Okay, yeah, that's it. That's it. And, oh, I get chills every time I think about this. I immediately recognize that is not him. That is not Quincy. And I put my face in my hands and I'm just palming my face like, oh, my gosh. Who is this? And he stands right in front of me and he says something really friendly. Like he's going to talk about the weather. He's like, hello. And I'm still got my face in my hands. And I'm like, hello. He goes, do you know who I am? If you knew who I was, you would not hesitate to say it. And I was like, I pulled my hands from my face and I went to look up at him and I'm stuttering. And I go, well, you're Jesus. I don't speak Spanish, first off. And he said, yes, I am. And boy, I look up at him. I see this off-white robe. I see a bright light from behind his head. His face is shadowed. And he starts talking about his life and how so much needed to be done and all this stuff. And I'm me going, holy crap, Heidi, you are really here. This is really happening. I'm looking around. I'm like pinching myself. I'm like, I'm touching the ground. I'm like, hold on. Why is the ground so close to me?
And then I realize I'm on my knees and I don't remember going on my knees. And then he stops talking and I feel like a kid caught, you know, in class. And I'm like, I turn and I look up at him. I'm like, and I'm stuttering. I go, well, what do you want me to do? And he said, first, you need to show us some things. You need to finish writing your book. And he said, do not worry what others say. Know that I'll be there to give you the words. And that was the book, The Secret War, my first one. And I was just editing it at the time. And it's like, I was very painfully shy. I gave up grades in college to not have to do a presentation. And so that meant a lot to me. It's like, because I still tell everybody, I have nothing to say. I'm doing this because he asked me to. And every time I do a show, I look up to the heavens and I say, look, you promised me you would give me the words. Now I'm holding you to it because I personally don't have anything to say. This is all and only for him. Mm-hmm. So.
Wow. That's awesome. When you were doing your research, you said that shadow people were around for centuries. Yeah. What is the earliest account that you found? And do you remember what the story was?
Oh, gosh. I wish I could remember the date that I found. Oh, was it the 1600s or something? It was the days of witches. And they would report seeing a man in a black suit on a black horse, like the Headless Horseman almost, but he had a head. That would come during their ceremonies. So he would participate in them like that. So, yeah. And this was like a commonplace thing that people reported.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of crazy. It's like darkness has been woven into our history forever. Why is it there? Why is it in the Bible to say the devil could take on many shapes? You know, and like I never ever thought that I'd be making my parents proud talking about demons, but it's one of those things. It's like, I don't know how not to. And I use my real name, mind you. A lot of people in this field do not. And my dad was like, Heidi, you know, you can use a pen name. I'm like, Dad, you had no boys. I am going to abuse your last name till it's fullest. It sounds really good. Sounds really good with the name Heidi. So thank you. Yeah.
That's funny.
He was not happy. I was like, why is he asking me this? Well, I learned out. I learned why later, but ooh, crazy stuff. My dad was involved in some things. So.
Well, yep. I'd love to hear it if you wanted to share it.
I'm not in a situation or a position to talk about it right now because it's something that's rather new for myself to have learned. Gotcha. And it's just, it really, I just don't even know how to categorize it, but I'll tell you this, have been in, being a college student and to have been abducted by the military. And it's like, well, if I was so wrong, why did they come bug me? Why did they come grab me the way they did? At least three times that I recall as a college kid, you know, really? I was writing the book. Oh yeah. So nothing's made me more angry personally than those. Abductions.
Kind of like an MIB kind of a thing, or?
Huh, I wish. No, they call them MILABS, MILABS, military abductions. And guys, guys in military camouflage, white shirts with navy blue ties, carrying rifles, interrogating. I have one that I don't know how to. I don't know how to put this one into the right frame because I was gone for weeks, if not months, and no one noticed. And I don't even know how to.
I wouldn't know how to explain that either.
Well, I did find somebody that understood it. I can't remember his name, but he researches military abductions, and I had him as a guest on my show. And he said, yeah, so the government has been able to manipulate time and is abducting people. I almost fell off my seat. I said, what? That's what they did. I'm like, oh, my God, I get it now.
So, so they would have taken you, and then brought you back to the before the time they took you. So no time elapsed, but you were gone for a month.
Weeks or something months? Like whatever. Yes, they did,
and so you're left with the memory, but yes. Time is still linear.
Yeah, and to come back and to be like, I just survived this, and you're looking around going, what is going on here? I mean, just holy I don't understand. Batman. Oh, guys, it's just so ridiculous. And then, you know, and at the time,
That's a mind screw, yeah.
But one was talking about it at the time. So I never heard of it before. So I wasn't talking about it either. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know. So it's just crazy. But I mean, my first one, it was this brief. I lived alone at the time, still a college student. I went to bed and I woke up listening to a man screaming at me saying, you gotta tell us where they are. You gotta help us find them. And he slams his fist down on this metal desk. Mm-hmm. And I look up and he's got a white shirt, navy blue tie. And I said, and I look to my right and I see this guy in full camouflage with a rifle. And I said, help you find who? I said, where am I? Oh, she's waking up. Boop, I'm out again. Now, my dad was in the military. I recognized the puke green paint on the walls. I'm like, I was at a military installment. I'm like, what the heck was that? You know, they had the cylinder walls, cement brick walls, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh. I was just like, that was the weirdest, most real dream I think I ever had. I had a puncture mark on my arm. I was like, okay, what was that? You know, I didn't know. I didn't know what this was. So craziness. So if I was so wrong, they put a whole lot of effort into stopping me as a student. Like they knew my future. You know, I didn't think I'd affect the world talking about shadow people and a hat man. But they must have known. They must have seen something. They had to have known because I didn't understand putting that kind of effort into me. No.
Mm-mm. Do you think, and this is going to sound probably really strange, do you think that the shadow people that you're seeing, could that be a screen memory for something that was larger?
Not for myself, no. I mean, I don't see
them. In general.
Yeah.
In general.
You know, I saw it following somebody else, and then I saw, you know, shared encounters and whatnot, and the thousands of people have written me now, and no, I don't think it was. It wasn't like I saw them and then I blacked out or something. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, in my face. So, right. And threatening anybody that came around me and at a distance or not. I mean, there's so many stories I could tell you. It's like a contagion almost. And I feel I have to warn my friends and family. I'm like, okay, so you're going to become my friend, but you need to bless your home because Hatman's going to visit you if you don't. So it's like I feel bad about it, and they just, you know, don't take it serious until something weird's going on. And they're like, okay, what's that blessing again? I'm like, yeah. So that's
great.
Crazy.
Something else for my Great Dane to chase around the house at night.
No, these things kill animals. They're horrible.
Oh, well, let's hope that doesn't happen then.
Yeah.
Burn, you're awfully quiet. You're scaring me.
Yeah. I'm just listening. Very entertaining. Heidi,
quiet, I'm really, really worried about the world.
Yeah. it's not good for me to drift off.
No. We try to keep you as active as much as possible. I don't have that much bail money.
Uh-huh. Heidi, can you tell me if you can remember, like, your first encounter? How young were you? Did you see shadow spirits when you were young, very young? How did this all get started for you?
Well, for me, this is interesting because I shared about the first, what I thought was the first shadow being encounter when it was following my friend. But when I went to sit down to write the Hat Man book is when I realized, oh my goodness, I had seen him when I was a kid. And it was a nightmare. And it was a nightmare that stayed with me my whole life and made me quite leery of the topic. So I had this very real dream of one of my neighborhood friends being trapped in a manhole. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's stuck. We got to get him out. Tried to get him up, went to go grab like a crowbar, came back, and he wasn't in that same manhole. He was in another one. And I'm like, well, how'd you get over there? You know, he was a little kid. And he's like, just open it already. And I'm like, so I went against my gut instinct. This is important. I went against my gut instinct and I opened up the manhole where I heard him. And it was Hat Man. And he laughed as he threw me in this empty lot. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna play dead. I don't know who this guy is, but I knew it was the devil. And I'm like, I was played dead. And he went all over the world destroying lives, just killed everybody. It was the end. It was the apocalypse. It was. And before I knew it, I ended up leaving my body and I ended up in this holding place of souls and soul groups of families. And I found mine. And everybody was just like, everybody's good. Yeah, we're all good. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, this happened. I'm like, well, he tricked me. What was that about? And it's like, I didn't know what to think of that dream. And here it is, all these years later, not until I sat down and write this book, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like how to put the lid on him. He's already been doing this. And it's just, yeah, people are just, I've had people write me, like, I've seen him for 40 years. And it's like, oh, no, that was before I started talking about him. So I'm not unleashing him onto the world. But it's like, is this his ultimate goal? And yes, I'm finding that is his ultimate goal, to take out as many people as he can. And it's like trying to educate people to not let him and put him back, put the lid back on him and shove him back underground, because he's really taking pleasure in what he's doing. And I have the down low on him, and I'm willing to share, because it's got to be, this can't keep going on. And so I'm doing anything and everything I can. And I swear, it's like 99.9% of my day, I'm thinking, what more can I do, Lord? What more can I do to sound the alarm, to make awareness? And, you know, and to let people know too, my books are all free on Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Prime, you could get them, except for one publisher didn't allow it to be free. But so go on there. I mean, how do you put a price on somebody getting rid of the devil and demons, you know? So it's there. So I would welcome people to look up my name on Amazon, if you got Amazon Prime, and just download it and get it. And the book, The Hat Man, and book two of The Hat Man, that looks like it's for kids, it's all with the cartoons, that's the one that you really need to try to bless your space to get rid of them. And I find it to be really important, because you have to be able to rest. You have to be able to know that you're safe at night and these things aren't scratching at your door.
Yeah, you have to have your safe place, because where do you go if you don't have it?
And so many people don't. And I don't know why they're not turning to their faith, because they're angry at the Pope for pulling crap or their priest for molesting. It's not about those idiots. It's about you and your personal understanding of who God is and what he is, and knowing that if there's something this evil running around, there's something really good running around too, to take him down. So have faith in that. And it's okay to say you're Christian. Hello. Why are we afraid to say that? Oh, I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual. What the heck does that mean? It's like, yeah, I'm Christian. I believe in Jesus. How about you? It's like, let's get back to being comfortable with saying that. It's like, it's okay, everybody. You're not stupid for saying you're Christian, and you shouldn't be beheaded for it either. So it's like, I'm tired of it. People think, oh, you're in the New Age because you write these books. Nope. Christian. Sorry. It only took Jesus to come smack me up the side of the head to get me straight on that, but I'm good now. So, yeah. But, yeah, I find it to be important. And it's what gets me out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, and educating especially the teenagers and the kids these days. Me and Eileen speak at conventions, mm-hmm. and we speak on the dangers of paranormal exploration. We do it, but we explain to them the consequences.
Nice.
You know, of like say, you know, a teenager would want to go and provoke the Hat Man.
Stupid.
You know, because they do things like that, or take an mm-hmm. EVP recorder into the cemetery on Halloween and try to spirit. You know, and we explain to them, you know, even possession, you know, don't mm-hmm. call it things unless you know how to deal with it. And nobody knows how to deal with it.
Nope.
So, I mean, it's.
Well, to be honest, we're never really going to know until we get there.
Right.
Everything else is just theory and conjecture.
So all it's doing is bringing hell into their lives, their families' lives.
Yeah.
For no reason. Just to play a joke that they probably don't even believe in.
No, right. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. You know, it was interesting to me. Is another reason why I felt like after I wrote two books on the topic of faith, right? About the other F word. I did one for kids, right. Kind of like Diary of a Wimpy Kid, you know, with lots of cartoons, with a story. Yeah. It's for kids, and it's got a study guide in it and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting, you know, like this is my first kid's book. Let's see what happens. I didn't hear from one kid. It was all adults going, "Woo, that was good. That really got my faith going." I'm like, "What the heck?" So that's why I wrote the other F word, how to find faith and laugh at yourself while trying, because I was like, I got to do an adult version, because who likes comics? Well, us adults. So I like it. So I've got two books for each age group to try to get people to, you know, if they find that they could trust the light, I think that we're going to flip the switch on this evil that's kind of enveloping the world. But, I mean, kudos to you both that going out there warning people, because I just don't know why they don't get it. Like, you're not supposed to get a stick and poke the monster in the movie, idiot. Ugh.
And they do.
yeah, they do.
Well, there are a lot of adrenaline junkies out there that just think it's an adventure and things like that, and they don't get it. Yeah. And if you try to explain it to them, they'll either listen to you or they won't. And there's some of them can be very argumentative, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get tired of arguing, you know. Sometimes folks have just got to get bitten every once in a while.
Yeah, they do. I'll get their email in the morning. It's okay.
We get them too.
Yeah,
I get them too.
Ugh, it's crazy. I don't understand it, but you know, we're not going to lose this fight. It's just going to be harder with more idiots jumping on the bandwagon. And I have so many people that tell me, "Boy, Heidi, don't you feel like this world is just horrible? It's got to end soon." I'm like, no, we can't end now, because we'll lose too many idiots. We got to rescue the people who keep falling on their faces. And then it could end. Then it'll be okay. But right now, we really got to get people to know that you can't keep taking this step towards darkness. There's enough darkness out there. It'll walk towards
you.
Yes,
there is.
You don't have to go looking for it. I don't go looking for this stuff. Oh, my gosh.
I'm at the age right now, it knocks on my door. I don't even have to look at it. Look for it.
Mm-mm,
I understand.
It is quite the battle, but it can be won. And, you know, my favorite book that I've written, okay, I got 8 books out there. I only have 3 on dark stuff. The rest are like, I have a book called Picture Prayers. I had an angel show me how angels communicate with God. So I was like, and then I wrote Jesus Is No Joke. Talking about my experiences with him. I had more than one. And, you know, and then the 2 faith books, and then 1 book I just did for fun as a cartoonist. Oh, it was such a relief. No message, just silly. So it's like,
that's always a good thing, though.
Yeah,
you got to release, you know.
Oh, you do. And I was like, oh my goodness. So it's like, You know, but I only get asked about the dark topics. And, you know, I started getting wise to that with a lot of radio shows. And I put out a book on Jesus or angels and, hi, we want to talk to you about the shadow people. I'm like, oh, right after I talk about Jesus. Oh, but we really just want to talk about shadow people. Well, then I'm not coming on your show. And then they're like, okay, the first hour is Jesus then. Okay, all right. I'm like, yeah, because, you know, it's like that's I don't understand the limitations. It's like it's okay for us to talk about our spiritual beliefs. And so you could get on the air and talk about Wicca or whatever else, Buddhism. What's wrong with talking about Christianity? Good Lord, let's just be about it. You don't have to sit there and talk in a weird voice and fluffy words. Just be who you are and talk about it and speak freely. Some people get so angry because, well, I found the answers now. Christianity isn't the way because I saw aliens. I'm like, I felt the same way, dude. Trust me. I wrote a book on it saying, you know, if Jesus were around, I think I would have seen him by now. I put that in my book, The Secret War, and changed my tune. It was like, I found he was real.
Well, we all grow. We all have our own path. So, you know, that's where you were then, and you're at where you're at now.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's okay.
It's actually a pretty good milestone to look at, saying, okay, where I was there, now I'm here.
Right.
You know, right. And you see how you've grown. Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. And it's like, I was raised Christian. I always believed God was real, but Jesus seemed more like a historical figure that would come back one day. I didn't know he was around going, hey, I'm going to take this on. Don't worry. Had no idea. So it's been something else. It's been a wild ride. I don't regret any of it.
I wouldn't regret any of it either. Seems like an interesting ride so far.
Yeah, for sure. My goodness. Well, you too. You both are doing good too. So that's awesome.
Well,
thank you. Well, Heidi, we're about to have to wrap it up. Can you listeners know where they can find you in your books and your Facebook, your websites?
Yes. I do the comic strip that you see featured on the front of UPRN Talk Radio.
The
Outlanders, that's my work. So if you go to the outlanderscomic.com or just click on uprntalkradio.com, you'll see the Outlanders there. And then I have HeidiHollis.com, HeidiHollis.com, and the other fword.com. I have a lot of .coms, but if you go to my main site, it'll take you to everything. And yeah, so I'm always moving and grooving, making something. I'm just looking for any way to reach out and drop a seed in hopes of it growing into something great to take this stuff down. So I welcome people to write me also about their paranormal experiences or comments, questions. That's a part of my show too, The Outlander. I answer people's emails. So cool. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we have people out there like you that are trying to fight the good fight.
Oh, thank you. You too. I mean, it's awesome. Awesome to meet you both finally. I was booked months ago. You guys are busy.
Yes.
We try.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for inviting me. Yeah.
Thank you for coming on.
Oh, really appreciate it.
We hope you feel better soon.
Oh, thanks. Sorry, I've been coughing. I'm like, oh, I've been dying with this bug. Super cootie. I don't know what it is.
The super cootie. That's
a good one. Well, don't forget your circle, dot, dot, you know, so you get your cootie shot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course.
That's real old. All right.
Good. Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
You have a great holiday.
You too.
Bye-bye. She was awesome.
Yeah, I like her. I like her. She's got a good energy about her.
Yeah, she's funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go and listen. On Monday nights, I'm usually busy, but I'm going to have to take time out and go and listen to her show.
Yeah, I am too. I'll get the information up on our Facebook site for the HeidiHollis.com. So anybody that's listening can go and visit her site. And once also they with Uncle Joe, if he puts when he puts the show up, I'll put it up on the Facebook site as well. So everybody can go and listen to the show.
Awesome.
So what do we got coming up after this?
We have Russ Kellett coming up next Friday to promote his new book.
Awesome.
We've had him on the show before. He's an alien abductee also.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. He lives in England.
Okay.
After him, we have Deborah LeBlanc. She's local here.
Related to you?
No. Not related to me. I met her. Okay. Actually, me and Aline met her at a convention in 2008, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Okay.
Then we're going to be taking the Christmas weekend off, and we will come back on the 10th of January. So we'll have a long holiday.
I was just going to say, it sounds like we're going to have a real long holiday.
Yeah.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what comes up after tonight? I mean, as far as, you know, what's coming on after us tonight?
After us, we have Kathy Bielski with Quantum Leap. Okay. And we're going to have Terminus. Aline has her Terminus thing.
Awesome.
Let's see. That is. And also, you can find me and Pete on Facebook. And do you have a website, Pete?
Actually, I have two. It's lsspi.org and redokhypnosis.com.
Okay. Awesome. Well, we're going to close out the show now. And hope you guys have a great holiday. This has been the Supernatural Substation. Stay tuned for Kathy Bielski with Quantum Leap. We are on SoundCloud, YouTube, and our archive shows are on YouTube. We're on Spreaker, the radio station South. You can listen to us on the UPRN main site. Also, we are an iHeart Radio partner. And we're going to say good night, Pete.
Good night, Bern.
I'll talk to you.
Stay out of trouble, okay?
I will try.
Honey, it's our favorite time of year, and I got you something to celebrate.
A McRib! It's just what I wanted!
Happy McRib season, sweetie.
Mm, I love you.
I love you, too.
Mm. Actually, I was talking to my McRib.
Oh, okay, well, I'll leave you two alone.
Right now, enjoy a McRib meal and get another tasty McRib sandwich for just $1. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
How do you keep your family healthy this season when it feels like everyone around you is getting sick? I use Sambacol. It's drug-free and scientifically tested to help support your immunity. Sambacol has the power of black elderberry in every purple bottle. It comes in tablets, syrup, chewables, or my kids' favorite, the great-tasting gummies. So this cold and flu season, support your family's immunity with Sambacol Black Elderberry. It's the only one I trust for my family. And best of all, my kids love it too.